Good afternoon, everyone. Open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. It's in the back of your Bible. After all of the epistles by Paul are finished, you start with Hebrews. If you went to James, you're too far. Peter, John, Jude, Revelation. That's too far. So, while you're turning there, I want to give a short testimony. We've already had an hour and a half of church, so a little bit more shouldn't hurt. My son, who is in third year elementary school, he had the kate homon, the home visitation by his teacher, and he was speaking with my wife, and my son was listening, and asking what does he like to do, and you know, what does he do in his free time? Does he like to play video games? What's his favorite TV shows? Our rule is no video games, no TV. We only read. No, I'm kidding. But we read a lot, and Kyohei likes to read a lot. And so my wife was saying, yeah, he likes to read. And so the teacher said, oh, what does he like to read? And she said, well, you know, comics and also his Bible. And he said, oh, the Bible, really? I said, yeah. He says, wow, that's interesting. Maybe someday he can do a show and tell because I want to introduce our class to differences in culture and religion and things like that. And it would be nice if he was, you know, sharing what he likes to read in the Bible. And my son overheard it. And he said, yeah, and he wants to bring the Bible. And he also said, the teacher said, maybe he can share also, you know how to pray, things like that. And my son said, oh, there's something I'm reading. It teaches you how to pray. So I'm having my son memorize the Sermon on the Mount this year. Every night, well, almost every night, he reads it to me. And there's a section in the sermon in chapter 6, Matthew, where Jesus says, this is how you pray. And so he showed it to him, and the teacher said, wow, that's great. So I'm just excited, you know, my son is going to have a chance to share the Bible, share the Sermon on the Mount, share Jesus' prayer, to preach in his third grade class. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen. Yeah. So that's my boast in the Lord this week, living vicariously through my son. So yes, pray for him, that the words of the Lord will be spoken. That has nothing to do with Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, but definitely something I wanted to share with you. So we'll read it in the new, the NIV. It's in your bulletin, and I encourage you to have your own Bible open in front of you, your own Bible app. And is it there? Okay. You have it in Japanese here, but it's a long passage, so I'll read the first part, 1 through 5, and you join me at 6 through 12, all right? This is Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now, we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. On the seventh day, God rested from all his works. And again in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Let's read together, verse 6. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, And since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is living, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is the very word of God. Amen? So we read 13 verses, and in those 13 verses, 11 times the word rest is mentioned. So what is this passage about? Rest. All right? And our subject today is changed for rest because our theme for this year is change. I change and the world changes. I change and the world changes. I change and the world changes. So there's a difference between the way that the world rests and the way that Christians rest. There is a rest that everyone else has, but there is something very different about the rest that Christians have. But you say, Chris, rest is rest. We all need it. We're all overworked. We don't have enough. Can I give you a weird statistic? We live in Japan. Ironically, Japan has the most rest days in its working calendar than all the other countries in the world. Yeah, look it up. Yeah, there's this thing called the internet. And it's weird. We have, in our working calendar, the most holidays scheduled into our year. And it's interesting because I teach junior high school and high school English, and one of my topics a few weeks ago was happiness. And I asked the students, what do you think about happiness and how do you feel about it? And then I showed them a site that's called the World Happiness Report. And it ranks the happiest countries in the world. And Japan, this year, in 2016, was ranked 53rd on the World Happiness Ranking. So I asked my students, are you happy? Are you happy? And they look at me with their sad, depressed, tired faces, and they say, yes, sensei, I am so happy. I'm like, okay, all right. So 53rd, and then I asked them to tell me a report. You know, what do you think? How can Japan be higher than 53rd? What does Japan need in order to be happier? And one of them wrote on his card, he said, Japan needs more holidays. We need more rest. I said, we already have the most holidays. How can we need more? And you know why. Because even though we have holidays in the calendar, everybody's working on those holidays. Amen, somebody. There is no rest. Now let's get right into the text. The Bible says, rest. The Bible says, it's not just you should rest. It's not just, it's good for you to rest. It's in the Ten Commandments. Rest. It's that important that if there's 10 things you need in your life, out of those 10 things, one of them is definitely rest. And another thing about that, because it's in the Ten Commandments, you know what it is? You know what else is all in the Ten Commandments? Don't steal. Don't murder. Don't lie. Don't commit adultery. You know, those big ones. So God is saying, any country, any society, any civilization that is overworked, that is working on holidays, it's just as bad as any country that has murdering, stealing, adultery, and lying. We're in that world, a world that values work and overwork, overtime, and put it in and get it done. Otherwise, you can't live, you can't earn, you can't have peace, blah, 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 blah. And here's the Bible telling us, there is a rest that's different from what the world has. And it's so important to you that I'm going to talk about it in the Old Testament and also in the New. Rest. And so the word in Japanese is ansoku, to just take a break, to separate. And I want to get right into the text. However, if you noticed, while we were reading it, were some of you confused when you were reading it? It took me all week to try to figure out what this was trying to say, because when I read it from verse 1 to verse 13, it felt like I'm just in the middle of something. This is not the whole section. And if you have your own Bible open, or if you have a Bible open and not just a bulletin, you'll understand, Chris jumped into the middle of the section. This section in the Bible of Hebrews is actually started in Hebrews chapter 3, right? Somewhere, I think, in verse 6 or 7. Now, why did we start at chapter 4, verse 1? It's Pastor Hiroshi's fault. He's the one that preached on this passage a few weeks ago, so I'm just following his schedule. But basically, let me help you to understand this passage a little bit, because it's so important to understand the meaning of rest. The book of Hebrews was written to Christians and non-Christians. Christians who were having so much difficulty in life because they're Christians, they needed encouragement. And then there's non-Christians who thought they were Christians. And because they tried to take Jesus' name on their life, they had problems. People were trying to hunt them and attack them. And they were thinking, why am I doing this? What is worth being attacked for Christ? And they were thinking about leaving the church. They never really were in the church to begin with. Because if they were, they're in it. But they're on this kind of edge. Do I stay? Do I go? Do I keep going, or do I give up? And the writer of Hebrews is saying, you have something that's so important. There's no way you can give this up. You don't even go that way. You got to turn around. And one of those reasons that you need to stay and you need to persevere and you can keep going is because God has something for you since the creation of the world. Remember, we read that. Since the very beginning, He's planned for you to have this, and that is rest. And a picture of that rest, an image that God gave to us to help us understand it deeper, is this picture of a nation, Israel. And Israel was in slavery 400 years, no rest. Egypt was a country that was ruthless in its exploitation of its foreign community. They had all the nice jobs. The Egyptians would just, you know, would be the top of the ladder, and then all of the foreigners, the Jews, Israelites, would be doing all the hard labor. Does it sound familiar? Doing the dirty work, the things nobody else wants to do. They had no breaks. No calendar or days off. They worked Monday to Sunday to Monday to Sunday. And God says, I have a place for you. It's a place of rest. It's out east called Canaan. I promised to you. And I want to take you there. So God takes his people, Israel, out of Egypt with an outstretched arm and a mighty hand. And he takes them through the desert to the place called Canaan, his land of rest. Now, it got really ugly from Egypt to Canaan because the people in Israel, the people of Israel, they on their way to the land of rest, they begin to doubt. And it says they disbelieved. They didn't believe God. And that disbelief caused disobedience and rebellion. Every problem you face as a Christian, every obstacle, every hardship, every trouble, probably has a seed of unbelief, the root of it. Yeah. If you can't say amen, you can say ouch. Right? It's that unbelief, and that unbelief causes disobedience, and that disobedience causes, well, the mess. But we got to go back. So Israel is going through this difficult desert experience, and some of them are like, I don't need this. I'd rather go back to Egypt. Just like the Christians in Hebrews were going through this difficult time, and they're saying, I don't need this. I'd rather go back to the old way of doing it. And so God is being patient. And he's saying, don't harden your hearts. You got to stick with it. I have a place of rest for you. You want to go back to Egypt where you worked to the bone and they worked you to death, literally? No, I have some place for you where you can go and it's a rest. And and so that was that's the picture given in the book of Hebrews. It starts with chapter 3. Verse 6 or 7. I can't go back there. But So we're going there, and now we're in chapter 4, and it's chapter 4. Ah. Chapter 1, it begins, it's this whole thing about rest, but chapter 4, verse 1 at the top, it starts with, be careful. And actually, the word in the Greek, I don't like the NIV. The translation is fear. Fear. Fear, the disbelief. Fear, unbelief. Wow. And then you go through this section on rest from verses 2 to 11. And then this crazy part in verse 12 and 13, it's a famous part. Everybody quotes it. And I misquoted it because I memorized it in the old version. But it talks about judgment. The word of God is a sword. And everybody is naked before God who will judge them. So we have this interesting, can you see this? This interesting passage on rest, love, the grace of God. It's wonderful, but then it starts with fear and it ends with judgment. Are you catching that? Chris, we're talking about rest. It should be light, comforting, easy. Warm. Don't talk about fear and judgment. Don't talk about God coming down and judging people. No, you don't understand. Before it gets better, it has to get worse sometimes. And God is saying, I am going to change you. I want to operate on you so that you can be healed. You can get better. You're overworked. You're underpaid. You're harassed. You have no sleep. You go to bed, but you can't really rest. You wake up in the morning and you feel like you've been awake all night. Your eyes are bloodshot, right? Your hair is all messed up and you have no strength. Some of you, you've been working 10 days straight, no holiday. And finally you get one day off and the next day you're back to work. Do you know what I'm talking about? You need this transformation that will be inside of you, a fountain of living water. You need rest that I can give you. So let's do the operation. Let's get in there with the judgment and the fear and the sword and the nakedness. What are we talking about? So I want to give you two levels of rest. Two levels. And they're both really the same rest, but we want to just analyze. Actually, there's four different meanings of rest we have here, but there's just no time. So, give you one. One is the land rest, the peace rest, the rest where you do take a break. And it's a rest, it's a rest from what happened when Israel was going through the desert. They were being attacked by their enemies. They were leaving a place where they had no days off. So the land of promise, the land of rest, was a land where there were no more enemies to deal with. There was no more hard work without rest to deal with. And so God is saying, in me, the life I have for you is a life where the attacks are finished. The stress from the rumors, the lies, the arrows, and the slings, they're put down. There's a place in me where you can find that. That's one level. And then the deeper level is what we read. It's the one place he doesn't use just rest. He uses Sabbath rest. Verse 9. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. You see, every other time they use rest in this section, it just says rest. But then right there in verse 9, which for me is the key verse, it says a Sabbath rest. What is he talking about? He's talking about the Ten Commandments. Right? You shall honor the Sabbath. And he's talking about something that goes back before that. He's talking about something in the garden. In fact, he even talks about it in Genesis chapter 2. God worked. Oh, it's going to get good. God's creating day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6. Working, creating, orchestrating. And then on the seventh day, it was a Sabbath. Why? God was tired. God tired? No. What kind of rest is a kind of rest that makes God rest? Are you thinking with me? 6 days of creating and working and molding and shaping and breathing life. Seventh day? I'm done. What's happening on this day? What does he say on this day? He says, it's good. He says, this, all these 6 days, it was enough. Not that I'm tired. Not that I need a break. It's just, I want to enjoy. Yeah, I'm going to rule. And I'm going to rest and just say, yeah, I'm satisfied with what I've just made. Sabbath rest. Christians have a rest that's different from the world. How? We work, we labor, we strain and we toil, and then we have something that says, I'm going to enjoy what I just did. I'm going to, not because I'm tired. Yeah, I'm tired, yes, because I'm human. But because God has given this to me, it may not be perfect. It may not be complete. There's little things that still need to get done. But if I want it to be perfect, it's going to take forever anyway. So I'm going to trust God. I've done all I could in the time he's given me. And with the thing that is inadequate in me, with the part that I can't figure out, and with the part that I can't do in the amount of time I'm given, it's God. Let God do it. Amen. And let me enjoy it. Sabbath rest. But it goes even deeper. What are we talking about in 4 verse 12 and 4 13? Because all the Christians here who grew up in the Bible, you know this verse, right? The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And we're talking about the power and the exciting, dynamic energy of God's word. Yeah, right? And it's good. You apply it to pretty much all of the scriptures. You apply it to speaking to non-Christians. And when you talk to non-Christians, you have to use the Bible because it's not your words, it's God's words that changes the person, right? And so the word of God is living. And you use it when you talk to Christians. And to Christians, you say, yes, when you're preaching and you're teaching, you use the Bible to interpret the Bible. And you want to understand the Bible because that's what God gave us as the instruction booklet to live the Christian life. B-I-B-L-E, basic instruction before leaving earth. It's the Bible, the living word of God, right? Well, that's good. But in its context, it's talking about rest. What kind of rest? You know, the researchers and the doctors, they say it's not the amount of sleep that you have, it's the depth of the sleep. They have the rapid eye movement sleep, right? You can have 10 hours of sleep. But if anybody has a child, anybody with a parent, you don't get that sleep for many years. We have four sons, all of them under the age of 8. We haven't had rapid eye movement sleep, well, I don't know, since before the first one. Why? Because when they're a baby, you're sleeping next to them, you're afraid. You don't want to roll on top of them, or they make a sound, or they make a sound, and you're... What's going on? So you don't really sleep, all right? Good luck to you singles. Look forward to that when you get married. But you just... So the researchers say you need depth of sleep. If you don't have depth of sleep, then your body doesn't have what it needs to recover, recreate, you know, rejuvenate. The same thing... As it is in the physical, so it is in the spiritual. The Bible says you need a depth of spiritual rest. In your mind, in your heart, in your psychology, you need something that goes so deep. It has to cut deep down to the marrow and the bone, the spirit and the soul, the thoughts and the intentions. And it has to go so deep there. Otherwise, there's no change, there's no rest. What is it? Well, it goes back to what I was talking about a little earlier about unbelief and disobedience. Why do people work? Some people work because they need to earn. They need to put the roof and the clothes. They have the food. And then there's other people who work because they need to have a good title, a good position. Some people work so that they can have a good place, not just in the workplace, but in the world place, the society. They need work because if they don't have work, they're a bum. They are not important. So they are less than human. And some of us feel that way when we work. We work so that, you know, when I have this thing called a job or this title, I feel important. I feel human. I feel saved. This work is my savior. This work is my status. This work makes me as good as everybody else, and sometimes this work makes me better than other people. I have this degree. I have this education. I have this badge. You don't have it. Most of the people don't have it. I have these languages. I have these skills. And it puts me in a certain place around other people. And if that is the work that some of us have, we'll never have the rest that the Bible offers us. Because the Bible is saying, you need to go deeper than that. The Bible is saying, we do that not just with our work, we do that with our religion as well. We do that with our religion. We want to go to church, and we want to have the right beliefs, we want to have the right doctrine, we want to have the right scriptures so that we're not like them. And this church, this denomination, makes us better than that body of believers, that religious group. Yeah, yeah, I feel the tension. I feel it. Because that's what Hebrews is going at. It's going deep. Your work is your savior. Your religion is your savior. It's not your sins that make you a sinner. It's your damnable good works. You don't have to repent for your sins. This is saying you have to repent for your good works. Your good work. Work and rest. There is a religious work that we think will save us. But there is a grace that God wants to give to us that sets us free from this work, this self-salvation. And you maybe heard this before, but he said here, it says, if today you hear the voice of God, do not harden your heart. God is offering to you his grace, his rest, his peace in Jesus Christ, in Christ alone. Don't reject it and harden your heart. Be changed by it. Soften your heart. You see, here's the difference. The Christian is working, giving his Sunday, giving his money. The Christian is offering herself to the Bible studies and the discipleship. The Christian is giving herself, giving up time and resources and money, not so God will accept the work, but because God has already accepted. Amen? Let me illustrate this. What's today? Sunday. Okay. Sometimes I just get food. I'm sorry. You ever do that? Oh, let me. Look. Hey. Come on. There was a time. Nahomi and I. My job. I was working so busy. I would sit down at the table at 7 o'clock. And there would be a moment where. Okay, what day is it right now? And it's 7 o'clock. Is it 7 in the evening or 7 in the morning? Right? Am I eating breakfast or am I eating dinner right now? That's how hard it is, right? Yeah? So it's Sunday. Okay, the reason I said it's Sunday, because yesterday I had my basketball team practiced, and it was the final practice of the senior basketball team. I'm sorry, I have to preach with basketball every Sunday. So the senior class has finished their season. They've played their last game a week ago, last Sunday. And now, this last Saturday, they were giving the practice over to the junior class basketball team. Are you with me? Yeah? Okay. So it's the Intai Jiai, the Intai Renshu. So, interesting thing. Last Sunday, my basketball team we're in a game, a tournament, and we're fighting for our life. And I'm shouting and I'm screaming. And the student, my team players, they're stressed and they're working hard and they're worried they can't win and they don't, you know, they're worried about the score. And they're working so hard and they're stressed. And it's good, they're fighting, right? We lost, but that's okay. We're fighting. We lost. That's why they had to retire. So this week, a week later, yesterday, they're in the last practice. And it's a kind of practice where we're practicing, we're sweating, we're running, but the looks on the faces of the senior team is so different than the looks of the faces 1 week before. 1 week before, focused, energy, stress. Yesterday, let's just play. There's no more pressure. Our season's finished. I was different. And the thing about it is, yesterday was so beautiful that everything I was teaching them, everything I was trying to tell them for 3 years, they were doing it without me having to tell them. They were moving the ball, passing, and shooting it. Some of them even went into the goal, and it was a beautiful thing. And there was laughter and joy, and yeah! There was no pressure. There was work, but no pressure. The Christian works and the Christian struggles and the Christian toils, labors, not because he wants God to accept his work. No. The Christian works because the work is finished. How is the work finished? How has the work been done? Right there. When Jesus stretched out his arms, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know what that means? He said, that's the word of God piercing his soul. The double-edged swords slicing him right through on our behalf. On the cross, he was stripped naked and laid bare before the eyes of him who judged Jesus on our behalf. He was taking our judgment so that he can give us his forgiveness and his righteousness. The work was finished. And so what did he say? It is finished. And so when God rested, stepped away and said, I'm going to enjoy this, we have the Sabbath rest of God. And we step away from our religion. We step away from our work. We step away from our righteous works and efforts and say, it's finished. Let me enjoy the blessing of God on my life. The rest. That's the deep rest. That's the rest that will change us. That's the rest. You see, let me give you one example of how that works. And we'll close on it. I'm sorry, I went way over. Somebody at work, one of your friends, somebody says, you did this wrong. You made this mistake, maybe a spouse, a friend, a coworker. You didn't do this right, right? And maybe they're correct. you missed up on this. If you're overworked or you're trying to present yourself as worthy, you haven't had the rest, you say, yeah, but how about you? And I've done all this myself, and how come I can't make this one mistake? And da 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 da. And you're trying to put an effort to justify yourself. But the Christian who's had the rest of God transform him says, yeah, you're right. I messed up. But the truth is, I really messed up in so many other ways. I'm just this little thing. Oh, man, if love covers a multitude of sins, thank you that you just forgive this one thing. Why? Because you've been changed by the rest of God. Or how about another way? You did this wrong, you made this mistake, and actually, no, you didn't. You did the right thing. They were wrong. They actually messed it up, and they're looking at it incorrectly. So what do you do? ha, I got you now. All right? Here I go. Wait till I just, you know, reveal it. And no, right? If you're a Christian and you've had the Sabbath rest transform you, you can say in your heart, you say, man, I don't need to justify myself. I don't need to defend myself. They missed this one. But if they really knew where I really messed up, if they looked inside, then they would have something to point a finger at. But praise God. Praise God. There's humility. There's peace. There's rest. Amen, somebody. Yeah. So come to Christ. Come to the cross where the work is finished. Lay your burden down. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen? Come on, let's go to him now. Lord, we rest in you. Find rest, my soul, in Christ alone. Lord, some of us, we're in the storms, we're in the waves, the winds are beating down. Oh, God, be my Sabbath rest. Just as a baby, after crying and wailing, rests his head on the breast of his loving mother, Lord, we lay our head in your bosom, resting in your care for us. Cast your cares before Christ because he cares for you. So, Lord, we cast down our burdens. We come to you, Jesus, for rest. We thank you that you forgive us through the cross. We thank you that you've washed our sins away by your blood. We thank you that in you we are recreated. We are made new. Father, for those of us who are overworked, outstretched, and in need of strength, there may be no rest for the weary, but there is strength for the weak. And we thank you for the strength that's found in you. We receive it in Jesus' name. We worship in Jesus' name. We honor you. We glorify you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Jesus, our rest. Amen.